What is up, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? We are live on the ISC Sports Network. Last Monday of the freaking month. Good Lord.
There you go.
We got the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight this weekend. We have Major League Baseball starting on Thursday night, so we have a jam-packed show for you. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing pretty good there, J-Man. Like you said, the Sweet 16 starting Thursday. In one way, it feels like the college basketball season just started. In another way, it seems like it started years ago.
Yeah.
But you and I can't complain too much. Our favorite teams are two of the remaining 16 teams. So,
yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
I think you even said it at the end of the show last week. You go, maybe next week will be the first time that both of our teams are in the Sweet 16 at the same time.
Yeah, I did. And
you called it.
Here we are. And the first time to line, I have done so since 2005, when they were national runner up to North Carolina. First time Purdue's done it since 2022. So, but it feels longer than that just because of the early exit to 16 seed of Fairleigh Dickinson last year. But thank God that didn't happen. And thank God, even if Purdue goes out without winning a national championship, they're going to lose to a good team. So,
yeah, that's the thing about, rooting for Cinderella is you get into the, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and the matchups just aren't that good, honestly. And you see higher probability of blowouts, less good games. And this year, all 16 teams are high majors. I'm throwing San Diego State in there because and basketball, and Gonzaga, for that matter, kind of include them as a power conference school, even though they're not.
Well, yeah, they're both been national runner up. So, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Recently, within the last 3 years. So,
yeah, they qualify.
Yeah, only, a 6 seed and an 11 seed. Those are the lowest seeded teams out there. Other than that, you got a bunch of ones, twos, threes, fours, and fives. So, should be a very fun, few days of basketball.
In that 11 seed was that you're referring to, and I know we'll get more in the weeds in this, NC State, they're arguably the hottest team in the tournament. So
they are on a roll. It's you don't see that from a power conference team too often, where they end up making a run, especially when you're playing on the first day of your conference tourney and end up winning the whole thing. It just doesn't happen very often. Oregon about did it too. They almost played in the Sweet 16, went to double overtime with Creighton.
Yeah, my wife had Oregon in the Elite Eight, and I thought she was kind of nuts for it, and she was not too far off, because I think if they would have won that thing, got to the Sweet 16, I think they would have had a chance.
Yeah.
Well, of course they would have had a chance, but I think they would have had a pretty good chance. But I brought some birdie or bogey for you today. It is NCAA tournament related. I better bring it up on my phone. I'm always like, I don't need my phone to read it, but I want to make sure I get the wording correct. I don't want to screw anything up here. So, even though it's a pretty straightforward question, I want to know which college team has the best winning percentage in NCAA tournament history with a minimum of 20 games played.
Best win percentage, man. 20 games played. Okay.
At least 20 games played. So,
oh, that's a lot of schools.
I know.
Man. Birdie or bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and casual atmosphere and cocktails with a casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. It's pizza night. They have dill pickle pizza, supreme pizza, cheese pizza, pepperoni, and margarita pizza. Their special pizza tonight is pepperoni, banana pepper, and pineapple. Call them at 574-223-7101 to order your za.
Can't go wrong with pizza.
You cannot go wrong with pizza, regardless of where it's at. Bad pizza is still pretty dang good, honestly.
Amen, brother. Mm-hmm. I had some pizza over the weekend, and this week, I think Wednesday, my wife's all about planning our meals right now, so we got a schedule on the fridge, even though the schedule hardly ever stays like it's supposed to. It usually varies, but Wednesday's supposed to be we're gonna make our own pizzas, her and I. We've never done that before, so we're gonna try something different.
Why don't you set up a tripod and film yourself? I'd like to see you cook.
Well, you know I'm a pepperoni pizza guy or a meats pizza guy, so mine shouldn't be too crazy, so it shouldn't be too difficult.
What's her go-to?
You ready for this?
Oh, boy.
Or this is what she's making. Pineapple, pepperoni, and green olives.
Sounds terrible.
Yes, it does.
Sounds terrible.
I can do pineapple. I've done pineapple on pizza before. Green olives,
I don't think I've ever done pineapple on a pizza. I know it's very controversial when people say I want pineapple on the pizza.
Yes, it is.
I do like pineapple as is, though. So I'm sure I'd like this salty and sweetness combination.
I did a Hawaiian pizza once that had pineapple, ham, brown sugar.
Sounds pretty good.
It wasn't my favorite, but it was like, oh, I'll have it again.
The green olives, I'm out.
Yep, I'm out. But hey, more power to her. I don't have to eat it, so.
That's a good point.
But I want to know, Tim, J-Man Show Nation out there, two questions when it comes to pizzas, and then we'll talk about sports. But let us know in the comments tonight or later on. Shoot us a DM or whatever. Do you like pepperoni? Do you like pineapple on your pizza? Yes or no? And cheese pizza. Do you consider cheese pizza a pizza? Because I know my co-host doesn't.
No. It's cheese bread with marinara. It's just cheese bread with built-in marinara sauce. That is all cheese. I can't even call. I'm not gonna call it pizza. I'm a sausage pep guy, but every once in a while I get crazy with a chicken pesto sort of pizza.
All right, and I can't remember. Do you like Italian sausage, or does it need to be like American sausage, or do you like both?
Love Italian sausage, or both. Right. I mean, I like both, but I prefer Italian sausage.
All right.
Oh, sure.
All right. Well, I haven't ate yet. Now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
No pizza on the menu tonight. So, do you want to get educated real quick before we dive into a few topics here? Where is the? There it is. All right. So, sporting events on this day that have happened on March 25th. Let's see here. Oh, here's a good one. On this day, 1934, the first Augusta National Invitation Tournament, now known as the Masters, was held as Horton Smith won with a 20-foot birdie putt at the 17th hole, one stroke ahead of Craig Wood. I've actually heard about those guys.
A Tan and J-Man Show contributor, Sean Shriver, says shrimp and clams.
Shrimp and clams on pizza? I've never heard of that one before.
I can't tell if he's being serious or not.
I can't either. Can't either.
That can't be good.
I like shrimp. I'm not a clams guy, even though I do like clam chowder. I like shrimp, but I don't know if I do shrimp on a pizza. Like, it can't come with pizza sauce, right?
What would it have on it?
Like, maybe? I don't know. I'm kind of blown away right now. To be honest. On this day in 1937, it was revealed that Quaker Oats was paying Babe Ruth $25,000 per year for advertisements.
Nice.
Good deal if you can get it back then. On this day in 1947, the 9th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship was held. Who won it?
47? Loyola.
Good guess. Holy Cross beat Oklahoma 58-47. So Holy Cross has a national title and Purdue and Illinois don't.
Yeah.
I think they're being serious. Huh. Anya right here said they just had it tonight. Love it. So, hey, maybe I'll have to try shrimp on pizza. Clams, I'm probably out. I know you're out on both. I know you don't like
seafood. Yeah. I did see an episode of Kitchen Nightmares where Gordon Ramsay ordered the seafood pizza, and I think it had shrimp and clams on it now that I think about it.
All right.
He hated it, but
Gordon's an intimidating dude.
Yeah.
On this day, 1957, the NBA modified the free throw rule. Doesn't say anything more than that. But
I still don't understand the bonus situation in the NBA. How many fouls you get?
Nope.
I don't get it.
I remember a friend of the podcast, Jeff Ryan, who follows NBA a lot closer than both of us. He tried to explain to me like 8 different times. I'm like, I don't understand. He goes, it's not that hard. I'm like, I'm confused. On this day, 1961, who won the 23rd NCAA Men's Basketball Championship?
61, was that UCLA?
Cincinnati beat Ohio State 70-65 in overtime, but the MVP for the second straight year, or the MOP, I should say,
Jerry West.
Was Jerry Lucas.
Jerry Lucas, that's what I meant.
That's what you meant. That's what you meant. I gotcha. On this day, 1961 as well, the third place game was one of the wildest contests in NCAA tournament history as St. Joseph's defeated Utah 127-120 in quadruple overtime.
Dang.
Yes. We got a lot of championship. I'm testing your NCAA championship knowledge today. On this day, 1967, who won the 29th NCAA men's basketball championship?
66 was Texas Western. I know that one. 67, I have no clue. Couldn't even give you a UCLA.
UCLA beat Dayton 79-64. Luau Cinder, later named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was tournament MOP. On this day, 1971, NFL football team, the Boston Patriots became the New England Patriots as they relocated to Foxborough, Massachusetts. On this day, 1972, who won the 34th NCAA men's basketball championship?
72, I'm going to go with UCLA again.
UCLA beat Florida 81-76 for the sixth straight title for the UCLA Bruins. Bill Walton, tournament MOP.
Man, I bet people hated UCLA back
then. Oh, my gosh. On this day in 1972 as well, Chicago Blackhawks' Bobby Hall became the second NHLer to score 600 goals. That's a lot of goals. On this day, 1982, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, became the first NHL player to score 200 points in a season.
The great one. He was pretty good.
Yes, he was. 1995, Mike Tyson was released from jail after serving 3 years.
Only three, huh? Man. He and one of the Paul brothers, I think it's Jake. Is it Jake or Logan? I think it's Jake.
It's Jake. Yeah. Netflix in July. Yeah. Netflix is dapping into live programming a little bit. So
no wonder the ratings keep going.
I will honestly maybe watch that because it's, you know, you pay for Netflix, you get it. You don't have to pay $50 for a fight.
It's not extra, like you don't have to pay $50.
Nope.
Bucks.
Nope. I might too. Yep. They're dabbing in, and I don't agree with a lot of things Mike Tyson has done or does to this day, but I hope he knocks Jake Paul into tomorrow. Yeah. But on this day, 2013, golfer Tiger Woods returned to his number one in the world rankings.
I didn't realize he did that.
I've been back since.
I thought he was just bad from the time of the incident to the time he won the Masters a few years ago.
Got hot there for a year or two and just won a bunch of non-major tournaments. He just couldn't win a major. And then in 2019, he won the Masters and has had trouble ever since with multiple things. But it was revealed this past week that he is in the Masters field. But, man, oh, man, I don't know if his body can hold up 4 days of that walking that course.
Yeah.
4+ days with practice rounds if he chooses to do so. So, but that will do it for sporting events on this day, which is March 25th. And the On This Day segment is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana Grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. Get those sign orders into Thad. Let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you. 15% off. Makes a great present for Mother's Day, for Father's Day. Like I've been saying, even a very early Christmas present. Because get your Christmas shopping done early this year. Why not?
As I said, it's only the last Monday of March.
That's true.
That's going to be quickly approaching.
Like that. So, but I don't know what your pick six involves around today.
It is, I got one baseball and then the rest are college basketball. So I say we do college basketball first, pick six, then we do our baseball preview if you're good with that.
Yeah, I am good with that. Sweet 16, we already kind of talked about it. Pretty chalky as far as all ones and twos. Made it. Got no real Cinderellas. I mean, you got an 11 seed with NC State in there, but they're a big conference team. You got a 5 seed not Nebraska. Gonzaga and San Diego State. But like we said, they've been national runners up. Gonzaga's made 9 straight Sweet 16s. That's not a Cinderella. That's absurd. They're not. Yeah. Remember when we were saying in January that, oh man, I don't think Gonzaga's going to make the tournament.
I know.
They've went 16-2 since mid-January.
Yeah. I was surprised to even see them as high as a 5 because a lot of people had them like 7-8, and that'd be a scary 7 or 8. But
they handled McNeese State and handled Kansas
pretty easily. Yeah, handled Kansas.
But Bill Self, he's already been thinking about next year for a month.
Yeah, he's on
what the a pick. Whiner.
He's on the pick six.
What a whiner.
Yeah.
What a whiner. But what were some of your big takeaways from the first rounds?
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of the higher seeds kind of started a little tight a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, Purdue, I wouldn't say they struggled with.
First Randy. Half wasn't the cleanest.
It wasn't clean, but it was never really in doubt. Illinois really struggled with Morehead. Now, I wouldn't even say really struggled. I just think Morehead was hitting shots early
in the match lineup.
But the popular upset picks of like, who was it that Kansas beat? Why am I Will Wade?
McNeese State.
Was that McNeese State? Okay.
Well, McNeese State played Gonzaga. Kansas played
Samford. That's right. Samford. Okay, I got those two confused. Same exact bracket. Samford was a popular one, and they got they might not have won the game, but you can say they got screwed on the last one. And I think that might be enough to give a coach a challenge in the final 2 minutes of each game. A clear, clean block that was called a foul, and Samford could not really recover from it. They would have had a chance to go win the game at the end. So maybe that's enough. I mean, we saw it with them able to review out of bounds. Back in 2013, ball clearly went off of Miami instead, and they said it was Miami ball instead of Illinois, and Illinois as down. I think they're down 3 at the time with 40 seconds.
And Josh broke his phone.
I broke my phone. That was the last time I've thrown anything. It's so stupid to throw stuff. I learned.
Yeah, I broke a phone in 08 by throwing it.
I do remember that. So now the Illinois rule is the reason why we have so many stoppages in the final minute, 2 minutes. So you're welcome.
Well, and the rule Purdue is blamed for it. Well, you know, the hook and hold. I feel like they review it all the time. Never call it.
Yeah.
I don't even understand what the rule is anymore.
Back when it first happened, the first year or two after that, it seems like they called it a bunch. And now you rarely see it called.
No.
Rarely. And this year, I never saw one flop warning at all this year. That was a point of emphasis. And now they completely redid the charge rule, block charge rule. So maybe that has something to do with it. They're just going to call blocks. But
well, I feel like they ignore the charge circle. People are on it all the time.
Yeah. And again, they have called less charges, but it seems like the past 3 or 4 weeks, they've started to ramp up a little bit.
Yep.
I saw more in the Big Ten tournament than I saw, you know, the previous 2 months.
Lance Jones took 4 of them in the first half against Michigan State himself.
Yeah. Yeah. That did not happen in the regular season. I don't know if the NCAA stepped in.
Yeah.
As you said, real chalky. Purdue absolutely annihilated Utah State yesterday. Mm. Illinois absolutely annihilated Duquesne. It was the lowest stress game Illinois has played since they played Michigan at home a month and a half
ago. I'm right there with you.
Illinois got up 10 within the first 5 minutes, and it was just like I put my feet up, didn't even watch it, but it was like never in doubt. And same with Purdue. I know Utah hung around, but then Purdue went on, was it 19-0 run, 17-0 run?
Yeah, they were up big at half. I thought Utah State would come out and punch them in the second half or at least make a run. Purdue hit them with a 7-0 run. It was like they just folded. Yeah.
And Utah State's coach left to coach Washington.
So he'll be Big Ten bound?
Yeah, he will.
But, you know, sometimes, and I'm not saying Sprinkle's a bad coach because I think he's a good coach, but sometimes these programs, you got to be careful let's take Dusty May, for instance.
He's in my pick six.
Going to Michigan. Okay, going to Michigan. But, you know, did a great job with Florida Atlantic last year, don't get me wrong, and did a good job with them this year getting the tournament. But I just think he's got one-hit wonder written all over him, and you got to be careful.
That one-hit wonder probably doesn't happen if a 16 seed doesn't beat a 1. So.
And they should have lost to Memphis last year.
Absolutely.
First round, but, here and there.
Yeah.
But,
I completely agree with you.
Well, James Madison's coach today took the Vanderbilt job. I mean,
it sounded like Vandy was in deep with Dusty May too, like surprisingly so, going up against Louisville and Michigan to the point where some people thought he was going to go to Vandy.
Do you think the only thing attractive of that job is maybe like job security, trying to, you know, you probably have 4 or 5 years to try to rebuild it.
That probably you do have job security.
That's a pretty deep basketball conference, especially with Texas and Oklahoma coming in.
Yeah, definitely. Nashville's awesome. We've both been there.
Yeah, that's true.
Cool city.
But I don't know.
It does seem like less pressure at Vandy than there would be definitely at Louisville and
Michigan.
Michigan will always play second fiddle to the football team.
True. But
Louisville for sure is basketball first and football.
It'll be interesting to see who they end up getting.
Yeah. Scott Drew has been mentioned, but it sounds like he's staying at Baylor.
At Baylor.
I would too. They had a bad loss last night to Clemson.
Yeah, they were my runner-up, if you remember on my bracket last week. So my
Kentucky was my runner-up, and Jack Golke had to go hit 10 threes. So.
And nobody does less with more talent than John Calipari.
He's also on my pick six. So you just want to knock out pick six
real quick. No, I just need to shut up. So, but he had to bring up Oakland. I mean, Oakland probably should be in the Sweet 16. But
yeah, they probably should. Oakland, man, Illinois played them second game of the year, and it was a dogfight. Illinois was losing with 8 minutes left and found a way to win by 11. Same thing with Ohio State, first game of the year. Oakland was up the whole game and ended up losing by a single digit.
They usually give Michigan State a game. They've played Purdue over the years. They do a good job of scheduling non-conference, good tough non-conference opponents. They've been a fairly good program for a while. I was glad to see them get some national recognition and some success.
Yeah, Greg Campy's been there 44 years.
Unbelievable.
He about died back in 2017. I was reading an article, and he completely changed his lifestyle, lost a bunch of weight, stuck around, and got him their first NCAA tournament win ever. So pretty cool. Pretty cool story. Now, of course, they're done. NC State got him in overtime. It was a good game.
Yeah, it was.
For the most part, I thought the round of 32 was kind of boring. A lot of blowouts.
Had an exciting game last night.
Very exciting game last night that was on way too late for J-Man to stay up and watch the end of.
I stayed up and watched that, and then the Yale-San Diego State game was so out of reach, I didn't stay up to watch that. But, man, I haven't seen a choke job of that nature, even though they won the game, of that nature in a long time. Houston was choking.
Maybe that's a wake-up call for them because
they
haven't done too much losing this year, and maybe that's kind of their a wake-up call.
I mean, but it was impressive for them to come back in overtime after having two of their guards foul out at the time, then three during overtime, and not only that, three of their four best players, they had to put a walk-on in to shoot some free throws that hadn't played much. He did hit one, and A&M made some unbelievable shots, even though I see why our buddy Cameron Screeton, good friend of the podcast, can't stand Bill Buzz Williams. That offense was maddening to watch.
Yeah.
Number four, I forget his name, first name, Taylor on A&M. Maybe the most selfish basketball player I've seen this year. He shot 5 for 26. Yikes. He was unbelievably selfish. They only run offense. It's just run in the lane, hope you run into somebody and get fouls called, which they had a lot of fouls called because they shot 40 plus free throws, but they just throw up garbage shots. It's hard to watch.
Yeah. Buzz is an interesting one because he kind of gets bored after 5 or 6 years like he did at Marquette and then Virginia Tech. And so now he's at that 5, 6, 7 year mark. Maybe he'll want to go take Louisville or somebody else. So he is from Texas. So that might help him stay. But
And you brought up Marquette,
Shaka.
I was like, what's the name? Shaka Smart got to his first Sweet 16 since that Final Four run with VCU back in 2011. So good for him.
Creighton, they awfully fortunate to beat Oregon. Down 4 with about a minute left. Oregon missed the front end of a 1-1. Baylor Shireman, who's gets buckets for him, was able to tie the game, and they were able to get into a second overtime and ended up winning. So Creighton, I don't think had gone to a Sweet 16 ever before McDermott got there. I might be wrong. And now they've gone to 2 back-to-back years.
Oregon's coach never got him there?
I don't think Altman ever got him there.
Okay.
He might. I mean, they're
he's the all-time winningest coach there.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were a Missouri Valley team.
Good point.
Speaking of Dana Altman, this will take you way back. Illinois was poised to hire him before Bruce Weber. And Altman said, I do not want Wayne McLean on my staff. And Bruce was the only one to say he's going to stick on staff because he was on self-staff. Or trajectory of Illinois basketball could have been a lot different. I think Altman's a pretty dang good coach.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Weber did all right for a few years.
He did. He did. So,
yeah.
I was actually looking at Bruce Weber's stuff. He was at Kansas State longer than he was at Illinois by
That's
a year.
Crazy. Doesn't seem like it.
No.
And he got them within the eyelash of the Final Four.
Yeah. One year, but Sister Jean beat him.
Yeah, that bracket broke their way. Yeah. I don't really think any of the brackets are breaking anybody's way too much, but I feel like I feel like UConn's breaking their way, but you got 2-seed Iowa State and 3-seed Illinois. Yeah. So that was stupid of me.
Two teams in the top 10 on Kim
Yeah,
Palm,
but. Yeah, but maybe it's just because Hurley mouse off after every game anymore. So
I don't like him.
No,
I do not like him.
No.
It broke their way a little bit that Auburn lost to Yale.
Yeah, broke my bracket too.
Because I think Auburn is better suited to beat UConn than San Diego State is. But other than that,
yeah. But no, the brackets didn't really break anybody's way for a one seed, I would say. I mean, yeah, Houston's got to play a Duke team that's playing pretty well.
Yeah, real sudden, well. So. Yeah, they blew out James Madison.
Uh-huh.
Took it to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Big Ten. How do you think the – I mean, I know Purdue and Illinois are on to the Sweet 16.
Which, I'm a bucket, right? There's two in a row.
Yeah, which, yeah, you're on fire. It'll be interesting what this week's is. Which is crazy. Purdue has played six teams that made the Sweet 16 and have beat them all this year. 7-0 against Sweet 16 teams. That's kind of crazy. Lose. But they are too. Thanks. But so are your boys. Your boys are on a little roll too. They're due to lose.
Yeah, Illinois is playing as well as anyone in the country.
Yeah, they are.
They've won 9 out of their last 10, 5 in a row. Probably on paper, the matchup of the Sweet 16 is probably Illinois-Iowa State. Illinois number one in offensive efficiency in the country. Iowa State number one in defensive efficiency. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see. One thing that makes me a little nervous is, got that monkey off their back. Underwood especially got the monkey off his back, finally getting to a Sweet 16. Are they going to come out with that same sort of fire? I think when you have a bunch of veterans like that, they should.
Yeah.
And they want to keep playing. But yeah. That's my one concern, because it kind of happened after they feel like they got gypped back in 2021 with the COVID rules, and Michigan ended up winning the regular season, that they put all that energy into winning the Big Ten tournament. And then we saw how the round of 32 against Loyola ended up. So very confident in the Illini right now to get to at least the Elite Eight, but we'll see if it actually happens.
Where I was going with this is outside of Purdue and Illinois, who made the Sweet 16, how do you think the Big Ten fared?
It fared about how I thought it would. Michigan State getting there to the round of 32. And, of course, you knew Michigan State was going to come out and punch them. And then North Carolina woke up, and they ended up taking care of business. Speaking of Dusty May, Florida Atlantic's team looked poorly coached. John L. Davis dribbling the ball up with 3 seconds left, taking his sweet old time, and then jacking up a 35-footer instead of trying to get to the rim, end up losing in overtime.
I just had a feeling Northwestern was going to pull that one out, because I thought Florida Atlantic kind of coasted through the season and maybe got in just on their name and their run last year, and then they played just like they did in regular season. It just didn't click for them this year.
Yeah, and then Northwestern got blown out last night.
Yeah, which that was predictable.
Nebraska's defense was horrendous. They gave up in a two-half span, the second half of the Big Ten tournament game against Illinois, and then the first half against Texas A&M. They gave up 116 points combined, so they were not getting stops.
No.
And then Wisconsin got popped early.
Yeah, that surprised me, honestly. Which maybe it shouldn't have. Their body language looked awful when they lost, after they lost to Illinois, like when their selection show and everything. So maybe I should have ran into it. But the nation was loving the James Madison 12 versus 5 pick. So I'm like, I'm going to go against the grain, because I think Wisconsin could use that as bulletin board material. And
didn't work.
No, not even close. So,
Okay, we only got about half hour left, so we need to get to baseball. So you want to go through, pick the Sweet 16 games real quick?
Yep.
Starting with UConn, San Diego State.
Yeah, I think UConn wins this fairly easy. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see them out, but I think they win.
UConn, top to bottom, is probably the best team in the country, and they've played like it so far. And especially when you got Donovan Klingon out there blocking 9 shots and almost having a triple double. So I do think they.
They've won 8 straight games in the tournament, all by double digits. But there is an interesting stat here about the Big East. Big East teams are 6-0 this year with 5 wins against double-digit seeds, plus 1 against Northwestern, who was missing 2 starters. Yeah. And an interesting fact about San Diego State, they've beaten double-digit seeds in all 4 wins over the last 2 years to get into Sweet 16. Hmm. So they didn't have to play a single-digit seed to get to Sweet 16. So
interesting.
I guess the bracket broke their way both years.
Yeah. Illinois, Iowa State.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good game. I hate that it's so late on Thursday.
I hate it.
I doubt I'll watch much of it since it's so late, but we'll see.
10:10 Eastern time, approximate. And you know the UConn game's not going to end on time, so it's going to be like 10:30 Eastern time.
Man, since you're my buddy, I'll pick Illinois, but I think it's a coin flip. It's going to be a good game.
1,000%.
But Terrence Shannon's playing as good as anybody in the country right now, so if he can run and make shots and Illinois take care of the ball, I think they got a good chance to win.
Fascinating matchup. Yep. I don't know much about Iowa State other than the fact that they play really good defense.
They struggle to score at times,
which could be a hindrance against a team that's, averaging 87, 89 points a game over the past, 3 months. Give me Illinois in a close one. I don't think they'll go out and score 80, 85. I think it'll be more of a first 1-70 wins. So give me the Illini. Who's North Carolina play? Alabama?
Yeah. I don't like Alabama. I think they're a bunch of thugs. They played so dirty yesterday, I thought, against Grand Canyon.
Don't like Natos.
I think Carolina gets it done.
I completely agree. And then we got, Clemson in Arizona?
Yeah, Clemson's flexing their muscle a little bit. I mean, you could almost say they're Cinderella, but they play in the ACC. But they looked darn good against Baylor yesterday.
You did.
You know what? I'll take Clemson to beat Arizona.
I've said all year I don't trust Arizona as far as I can throw them. But give me Arizona in that one.
I'd love to see you try to throw their center.
Yeah. If it does happen and North Carolina wins, Caleb Love versus North Carolina in the Elite Eight should be.
Oh, yeah. Good storyline. Yeah.
Houston, Duke.
I'm taking Duke. I don't know why. Maybe Houston wakes up, but I don't like the vibes right there. And I feel like Duke, if they can, is flying under radar.
Did you know that Duke has not beaten a higher seeded team since 1994?
No.
When they beat Glenn Robinson and number 1 seed Purdue in the Elite Eight.
Fun. Grant Hill and those guys. if their freshman shoots the way he did yesterday, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, Jared McCain played really well. I'm taking Duke as well. I picked Duke to win this game last week. So, let's see what else we got. Who's in the bottom half of that bracket?
Marquette and NC State.
I thought Marquette played Creighton.
No, Tennessee plays Creighton.
That's right. Yeah. Marquette, NC State. Give me Marquette.
Yeah, I'm taking Marquette, too. It would be interesting if Duke and NC State both advance. It'd be ACC foes that don't like each other in the Elite Eight. But I think Marquette's Colek's got to be too much for NC State. Yeah.
Purdue and Gonzaga.
Yeah, Purdue's beat Gonzaga back in the Maui. This is the Maui Invitational 2.0 for Purdue. I mean, there's a chance they could play Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Marquette. All three teams, back-to-back-to-back, all three teams they played in the Maui in the same order, which is really weird. But Purdue beat Gonzaga back in the Maui in November, beat them last year in the PK, 4-0 against them all the time. This game scares the tarnation out of me. Gonzaga's playing good ball. But I think if Purdue takes care of the ball, they look like they're on a mission. They look like they're very focused. Other guys are starting to step up, even like Miles Colvin, Cameron Heidi.
Awesome.
Trey Kaufman Wren was awesome yesterday, and I think he's going to get more opportunities as they go deeper in the tournament. I'm taking Purdue in a close one.
Yeah, Gonzaga's playing real well. Yep. Blew the doors off Kansas, especially in the second half. Give me Purdue less than 10, though. I think it'll be a –
They beat him by 10 the first time. So
then we got Tennessee and Creighton.
Yeah, I think this could be the matchup with Sweet 16 if it's not Illinois and Iowa State.
Yeah.
Tennessee was kind of fortunate to beat Texas. And I had that pick, but Creighton was fortunate to beat Oregon, but I'm taking Creighton because I think if you shut down, connect. Tennessee kind of stalls. Yeah. So, or if he's cold, they struggle. And Creighton's more well-rounded on offense. So
yeah, very similar matchup, really, to Iowa State, Illinois, because they both play very different styles where Tennessee slows it down, don't score a whole lot. Great defensively. Creighton goes out and they run, score a ton of points. I picked it last week, and I have to stick with it right now anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Tennessee in that. Mm-hmm. So
I figured you'd go that direction.
Yeah, we both go UConn and Illinois.
Yeah, sorry, J-Man. I mean, they can do it, but UConn's is on fire right now and been good all year, so I'm taking the Huskies.
They will have to play their best game of the tournament, should they get this far. Illinois would have to. Maybe best game of the season in order to beat UConn, and I just think UConn's going to be too much. Clinging down low. Illinois scores a lot of points at the rim. Shots, I think they were 77% from two against Duquesne. Putting Kling in there is going to make things a lot more difficult. So, give me UConn. Season's already a smashing success in my book. Finally get that monkey up.
There you go.
Then you have Carolina, and do you have Clemson?
Yeah. Yeah, ACC matchup. But give me Carolina in this one. So I'm going chalk on the side bracket.
I'm going Carolina over Arizona. Then we both have Duke versus Marquette.
Yes. I hate this, but I'm going Duke.
I'm going Duke as well.
I don't know. Ugh. Oh, well.
Yeah. Purdue, Tennessee.
I have Purdue, Creighton. Tennessee. But I picked Purdue to win the national championship last week. I'm sticking with it. I'm scared of both games, but all of your opponents from here on out are going to be good teams. But, you know, it was great to make Sweet 16, great to not lose to the 16 seed, but this team's mission is not that. It's get to the Final Four and try to win the national championship. So picking Purdue in another close one.
This will be the J-Man's book and prediction of the week.
Knew it was coming.
Changing my pick from last week. I'm taking Purdue. After what? Hey, I'm due for a winning streak.
You're due to snap this thing too.
That is true, but three in a row is a win streak, and I think I'd get it, especially after watching Purdue yesterday.
That was probably the best they played all year yesterday.
J-Man's Book of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watching for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watching@infb.com.
Well, it would be pretty wild, J-Man, if we're sitting here next Monday and both of our teams are in the Final Four. But it could be it's a possibility.
That would be crazy. If they play in the national title game, that will be the most miserable night of my life.
It will be the most miserable Tan and J-Man show ever.
Ever.
The preview for that championship game that night.
Yeah, we'll both have like a airplane puke bucket next to us.
Yep. I don't even want to think about it. But the stars might be aligning because it is eclipse that day. April 8th.
Pick six time. Got to rifle through these real quick. Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, my gosh. Headliner in the MLB right now. Highest paid player. Well, not right now, year to year, but eventually highest paid player with his contract. But, yeah, this situation with betting, gambling, paying people off, really weird. And I don't think we're darn near to the close to the end.
Yeah. MLB does not want to investigate him, but they have to investigate him. He had a statement today that he was not doing any sports betting or anything, and I believe him. However,
seems like a nice guy, but that never stops.
Wouldn't surprise me if he's the one that paid off his best buddy's debt, which is illegal in itself. So, Kim Mulkey, LSU's women's coach.
Yeah, she says controversial things all the time. Good basketball coach, but doesn't know when to be quiet.
Incredibly unlikable. And did you see what happened this weekend with there's supposedly a Washington Post story coming out against her? Mm-mm. And the article's not out yet, but she went on the defensive immediately in her post-game press conference. So that usually means she's probably guilty of whatever they're going to say.
Yep.
Dusty May.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, great story with Florida Atlantic last year and what he's done with that program. Left him in better shape than he found it, but it's going to be a step up in Big Ten competition in Michigan. Yeah. And I don't know if this was right hired for Michigan, but Michigan, I don't want Michigan to be good, so I'm okay with it.
Michigan could have done a lot better, and I'm happy the direction they went. Now, we could be sitting here in 3 years like, man, we were way wrong, but
I think I saw some fans in Bloomington on X crying about it. So,
yeah, Dustin
made it real bad.
0-2 versus the Big Ten last year. Obviously losing Northwestern. Illinois put up 98 points against them in the one of them coaches versus cancer or Jimmy B, something like that. Bill Self,
Weiner. I mean, he gets it done. He's a good coach, but yeah, injuries happen, and it stinks that his team was injured coming into the tournament. But this come out after a loss, say, oh, well, I've been looking forward to next year for a month. And yeah. I think he was trying to say transfer portal, yada, yada, which is dumb that they even let the portal start during the tournament. Stupid.
Yep.
That's a rabbit hole for another day. But, yeah, quit whining. You lost. Give it up to Gonzaga for good play.
John Calipari.
Like I've said a million times on this podcast, nobody does less with more talent than Calipari. He's not going to get fired. That buyout's $33 million, but his seat's got to be red hot going into next year. I personally think a split, a mutual split would do both parties excellent.
I agree.
But don't think it's going to happen.
Last one here. I actually didn't come up with the sixth because I forgot about it, but I will combine two Big Ten players who had unbelievable round ones in Zach Edey and Marcus Domask.
Yeah. Man, well, they both backed down their opponents a little different ways, yeah. But no, just captains of the team taking over. Edie just keeps trying to shut up a lot of critics out there. And Domask has been unbelievably solid. I knew he was solid at Southern Illinois, but I never thought he'd turn into this caliber of player for Illinois.
Early in the season, after they played Marquette, I'm like, he needs to go back to the Missouri Valley because he was so bad. Edie, though, 30-20 game.
Yeah.
Domask, 10th triple-double in NCAA tournament history.
Yep.
I read an interesting article yesterday about Illinois' offense, and when they lost at Tennessee, it was a CBS game, so Jay Wright did it. Wright and Underwood are becoming buddies, and Wright met with him and said, you need to embrace this Domask booty ball, is what they call it. And ever since then, Illinois' offense has taken off. So thank you, Jay Wright. Jay Wright knows what he's doing.
Clearly. Yeah, it's very unique. It's very unique. Nobody else really has a guard that can do that in the country. Yeah. So, yeah. But a good list, Jay, man. That's the Pick 6 list, which is brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2024, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
MLB preview here. We got about 16 minutes to do this thing. So starting with the American League East.
Yes, and I had to do some research and homework today because my MLB knowledge is starting to slip more and more every year, but I know this is where you thrive, so I'm not too worried about it. The what division we start with?
American League East.
American League East. That's what I thought you said. But I'm going with the Baltimore Orioles. They were a surprise team last year, but I think they're ready to handle that success and keep it rolling this year.
Yeah, youngest team in sport, 101 wins last year. Traded for Corbin Burns, one of the best starters in baseball. Jackson Holliday, Matt Holliday's son, number one overall pick 2 years ago. Narrowly missed making the team. He should have made the team because he had a great spring, but he'll be up in short order. Who you got finishing second?
I got the New York Yankees finishing second.
I do as well. Missed playoffs last year. Once again, all about health with them. Traded for Juan Soto.
They need to stay healthy, but also Aaron Boone's got to do something. I say it like every year.
Yeah,
but he's got to do something, or they're gonna force him out.
Traded for Juan Soto though, and Alex Verdugo, and signed Marcus Stroman. Yeah. Bullpen's kind of a question
mark. Cole's already injured.
He's hurt
for a month to 2 months. So
could be more than that if it's worse. So that's obviously a huge question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Third.
Tampa Bay Rays.
I have the Toronto Blue Jays.
They're my fourth.
Finishing third. They didn't do a whole lot this offseason. They did lose Matt Chapman, signed Justin Turner to take his spot. Should hit pretty well as far as the Rays go. I think this will be the season they take a step back, but probably won't. They'll probably end up finishing second or something like they always do.
Great front office.
Yeah. They lost Tyler Glasnow, Robert Stevenson. No-name offense, but it should be pretty good, led by Yandy Diaz and Randy Arozarena. And we both have the Red Sox finishing fifth. Essentially the same team as last year that won 78 games, but it should be worse. Their owner, John Henry, who brought all those World Series championships there, has kind of stopped caring.
Yep.
It's pretty.
I was on a podcast a few weeks ago with one of the hosts is a big Red Sox fan. He said he's never been less optimistic going into the MLB season than this year. And he said exactly what you said about John Henry. Just, what else you want from me? It's pretty much what he's doing. So. Yeah.
American League Central, worst division in baseball.
Yep.
Could have an under 500 team win it this year. That's how bad this division is.
I'm going with the Twins to win it again this year.
Yeah, I think they win it by default, honestly.
Yeah.
They made zero key additions. They did lose Sonny Gray, but they need Byron Buxton to stay healthy because he's a dynamite talent when he's healthy, but again, never healthy. Never healthy. I have the Royals finishing second after only winning 61 games last year.
I have the Tigers, and this team burnt me last year. I thought they'd be the breakout team, and going for it again.
Yeah, I have the Tigers finishing fourth.
I got the Royals fourth. So.
Oh, cool. Bobby Witt, superstar with the Royals, really good player. Vinny Pasquantino, finally healthy. Cole Ragans, budding ace. They traded for him at the deadline. They gave up a half seat, 2 months of Aroldis Chapman for this guy, and he pitched against the Cubs last year in August, and 100 mile an hour from the left side, ridiculous stuff. Signed Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha to round out their pitching staff. I don't think it'll be very good, but could finish second. So, and as far as the Tigers go, interesting young talent led by Meadows, Green, Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter, but pitching's once again a question mark for him. Shortstop position is also a question mark with how bad Javier Baez is now, unfortunately. So that means we probably both have the Guardians finishing third.
Yep.
Can't score at all. Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, good offensive players, but they really struggle to score. But
who's their manager now?
Shoot.
I just knew on Francona.
Steven Vogt.
Vogt, okay.
Who was just playing 2 years ago with the A's.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he's their manager. He's somebody's manager. Pretty sure it's Cleveland.
I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah. Justin Bieber's brother, Shane, needs to stay healthy. He's not actually his brother, but Shane Bieber needs to stay healthy.
It is Steven Vogt. Yep.
Is it? Okay. And we both have the White Sox finishing fifth.
Boy, they're going to be bad.
That rebuild did not work. Didn't win a single postseason series. The lineup's semi-interesting if Eloy and Luis Robert stay healthy, but they're never healthy and they never will be. So can't even rely on that. Pitching staff is horrendous. Traded Dylan Cease last week. Reinsdorf really needs to sell, honestly. Both teams that he has. So he's still living off the 90s, really.
It's a long time ago.
Well, 30 years ago now. So that pitching staff as a whole could have an ERA right around 6 this year. Pretty embarrassing.
Not a formula to win.
American League West.
I got the Astros, unfortunately.
I have the Astros as well. Signed Josh Hader to a $100 million deal for a closer. Justin Verlander is hurt, but ho-hum, another great season coming up.
Yep.
I have the defending World Series champs, Texas Rangers, finishing second.
So do I.
Didn't make any huge moves outside of the bullpen depth. Their first-round pick last year, Wyatt Langford, has torn the cover off the ball, and he made the team after only playing 2.5 months of minor league ball. Max Scherzer hurt, could be out a while. Jacob DeGrom had Tommy John surgery last year, and he'll probably be out a majority of the season. So starting pitching could be a little struggle for him, but man, that offense with Seager and Semien and Nathaniel Lowe and Wyatt Langford, I mean, it's just absolutely loaded. Adolis Garcia, so would not be surprised. I think could be a coin flip as to who wins that division. That's how good it is. But yeah, finishing third.
Seattle Mariners.
I do too. They were a disappointing team last year, but they did win 88 games. So they were still
first time they had a lot of expectations on them for the first time in about 2 decades.
And they struggled for about 3.5 months and kicked it into gear, and it wasn't enough. Trade for Jorge Polanco, who should play second base for him, and Mitch Haniger, corner outfielder, and signed Mitch Garver from the Rangers, who had a really good year. Pitching staff should be really good with Luis Castillo and George Kirby and so many other guys that they should be in contention to at least make a wild card spot.
Yeah, those two guys with Castillo and Kirby, probably hard to find another 1-2 punch as good as those two in the league.
It is one of the best for sure. I have the Angels finishing fourth.
Me too.
Lost Otani. Still have Mike Trout. Anthony Rendon needs to stay healthy, but he absolutely hates playing baseball. You can tell. Some of his comments said, this is just a job for me. It's not end all be all, which for some guys it might be, but when you're making 200 some million, you probably shouldn't say that out loud.
Right.
Could be one of the worst in the American League this year. the worst team in the American League, the Oakland Athletics. They are moving now.
Is that official? Is that official yet?
I don't know if it's official.
I mean, because I thought it was, and then I heard something a few weeks ago that wasn't official yet. So I'm like, what are they doing?
They have to, or they need to disband the franchise and start over. The stadium's absolutely horrendous out there. It was terrible for football. It's even worse for baseball. You have sewage just running through if they get any rain at all, which is a good euphemism for the team as a whole. they only have really one player of note, and that's Zach Geloff, who had a really good rookie season. They won. I think they lost 111 games last year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they lose more than that this year. That's how bad they are. National League East.
I got the Atlanta Braves winning.
I do too. They'll mash that offense with Ronald Acuna Jr., Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, third baseman Austin Riley. They can just absolutely hit. And that pitching staff with Spencer Strider. Then they signed Chris Sale, who had a really good spring and might be healthy for the first time in 3 or 4 years. If he can regain even half the form he was in, that's an unbelievable addition. So they should be really, really good. Yeah, finishing second.
Philadelphia Phillies.
I do too. Re-sign Aaron Nola. Good offense. Pitching staff didn't do much of anything besides re-sign Nola. That was kind of their top priority. But
extended Zach Wheeler. But
extended Zach Wheeler, which was huge as well for them because they did not want to lose him. They should be really good. Should win 90 plus games again. Mm. Yeah, finishing third.
I got the Mets.
I do too. Signed Luis Severino, who was good, 5 years ago, and Sean Manaea.
Yeah. And he can never stay healthy.
Yeah. So. Neither guy can. Edwin Diaz is back, which will definitely help back into their bullpen. I think Pete Alonso is probably traded at the trade deadline, in my opinion, because I think the Mets will be mediocre at best. But and Pete's entering the final year of his deal next year. Is this the final end of the final year of his deal? I don't know if this is the final year or if next year is the final year. But I think he'll be, as of right now, he'll be the top trade candidate in the National League anyway. And then I assume Tanner and I both have the Miami Marlins finishing fourth. You have the Marlins finishing fourth?
Yep.
Lost Jorge Soler. It's a bad offense. It gets even worse. Their stud, whose name's for escaping.
Where'd Soler go?
San Francisco.
That's right. I remember seeing.
Their second baseman who flirted with 400 last year. Why can I not remember his name? I can see his face, but I can't remember his name.
I'll look it up.
Flirted with 400 all year. He's about their only offensive player. No, they can really pitch though, led by Jesus Luzardo.
Luis Arraez?
Luis Arraez.
Luis Arraez.
And then we both have the Nationals finishing fifth.
Yeah, they stink.
We'll be one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. But they're, their farm system is getting better, so I'll say that. National League Central.
I got the Cubs, even though J-Man, one of his bold predictions 2024 is they'd finish last. I got the Cubs winning it.
I was very grumpy, but I also have the Cubs winning it. On paper, they're the best team in the division. Craig Council, you no longer have a bald, dumb manager there like David Ross. Got Cody Bellinger.
That's mean to say about David Ross. Come on.
It is mean, but he is a big reason why they missed the postseason last year and choked that spot away. So I am very happy he's no longer there. Okay. I got Bellinger to come back, huge for the offense. Signed Shota Imanaga to round out their pitching staff. Traded for Michael Bush, who is a top 60 prospect in baseball. Finally getting an opportunity with the Cubs because he was with the Dodgers, who's just loaded at every spot. It's a very winnable NL Central, and if the Cubs can't get it done this year, then something went wrong. Yeah. Seiya Suzuki was unbelievable the final 2 months of the year, and he's poised for a massive year. So hopefully he can have his massive year. Pitching staff.
Who's a breakout player that Cub fans should keep their eye on this year?
Breakout player.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like an all-star season, but somebody that's going to be – a lot better than people think.
Jordan Wicks. He won the fourth starter job. He's a lefty who came up, kind of a bulldog mentality. Reminds you a little bit of John Lester with his mentality out there and his stuff, really.
I thought I'd say Ted Lilly.
No, different guy than Ted Lilly. Ted was real skinny. This guy's like 6'3", 220.
Built.
Yeah, Jordan Wicks is the one guy I can think of, should be pretty good. 85 to 90 wins, I think, should be the expectation. You got finished in second.
I got St. Louis Cardinals. I think they have a bounce back year after a miserable year last year.
I have the Cincinnati Reds.
I figured you did, and I'm like, I'm not putting them second. Yep.
I have the Cardinals finishing third.
I got the Reds third.
The Cardinals are a geriatric team. So many players over 33 years old. Same offense that was bad last year. Pitching staff, they signed Indiana natives, 36-year-old Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, and 34-year-old Sonny Gray. But Gray is starting the year on the injured list. You look at this team, and back in 2018, you're like, man, this team's going to win 100 games, but not now. Not in my Reds, though, Ellie De La Cruz needs a big year. Spencer Steer's good. Signed Jaimer Candelario. Ton of injuries, although, already with Matt McClain and TJ Friedel. I don't know if they'll be back within the first month or so, so they got to have to stay afloat. Also, one of their top prospects and guy who had a pretty good September, Noelvi Marte, suspended 80 games for PEDs. So
that doesn't help.
I have the Pirates finishing fourth.
I have the Brewers.
Pirates semi-interesting. O'Neill Cruz, who got hurt like the first week of the year's back. Good nucleus of Cruz, Reynolds, Cabrian Hayes, signed Aroldis Chapman, Martin Perez. I have the Brewers finishing fifth. Lost Council, traded Corbin Burns, signed Rhys Hoskins and Gary Sanchez. Brandon Woodruff is out for the season. So they should – I mean, losing Council honestly costs a few wins because he's so good at putting guys in spots because those teams are never overly talented.
I have the Pirates last.
Yeah. National League West.
Dodgers.
I have the Doyers as well. Otani, Yamamoto. Traded for Tyler Glasnow, signed Teoscar Hernandez. They could win 115 games, honestly. They probably won't, but they can. Who you got finishing second?
Got the Diamondbacks, the champs last year.
I also have the Diamondbacks. They signed Jock Peterson, Eduardo Rodriguez. Zach Gallen is an absolute stud, as is Corbin Carroll, one of their young players. So, I think they should be pretty good. I have the Giants finishing third.
You got the Padres.
Jung-Hoo Lee, Jorge Soler, Matt Chapman adds much-needed thump to an offense that had very little power last year. They did sign Blake Snell as well and Jordan Hicks being that pitching staff, so they should be pretty solid. I have the Padres finishing fourth.
I got the Giants.
Traded Juan Soto and Trent Grisham, but they did trade for Dylan Cease, so they should be able to pitch, and they still have Manny Machado and
Fernando Tatis.
And Fernando Tatis Jr., so they should be okay. Both have the Rockies finishing fifth.
Awful.
Utter garbage. Worst team in the NFL. In the NL.
Yeah. Monforts need to sell the team, but they're not going to. They gave their shortstop a big extension yesterday, but that's about the highlight of their offseason.
Cubs and Rockies play second series of the year. I hate playing bad teams this early because they have a little pep in their step that they don't have in June and July when they're out of it. But
Rockies can play decent in April, May usually, and then they fall off.
Yeah. Playoffs, I have the Braves, Phillies, Cubs, Reds, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Giants.
I have the Braves, Phillies, Cubs, Cardinals, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Mets.
American League, I have Orioles, Yankees, Blue Jays, Twins, Astros, Rangers, and Mariners.
I have Orioles, Yankees, Rays, Twins, Astros, Rangers, Mariners.
I have the Dodgers over the Orioles.
I have the Braves over the Astros.
I like it. Same as a couple years ago, 2 years ago.
And MVP and Cy Youngs. I don't know if you did that or not. Mm-hmm. I have AL MVP. I have Juan Soto.
I have Adley Rutschman of the Baltimore Orioles. First catcher to win it since Posey.
Oh, wow. And AL Cy Young, I have Luis Castillo.
I have Corbin Burns. I had Luis Castillo last year. NL MVP, I have Ohtani winning it again. Although he's not pitching, though, so I should have thought about that.
I have Tatis Jr., even though I don't have the Padres making the playoffs.
Yeah. And then I have Spencer Strider winning the NL Cy.
I have Zach Wheeler.
All righty.
Yep. There we go.
We got it in.
We got it in just in time. And birdie or bogey once again. What team with a minimum 20 games played in NCAA tournament has the highest win percentage?
I already gave myself a bogey. 20 games. Started the music too soon.
That's all right.
The minimum of 20 games, and they have the highest win percentage. No, well, they've been to 9 straight Sweet 16, so I'm going to go with Gonzaga.
Good guess, but no. It is Duke. They are 121-40 all time.
That's
a little over 75%.
That was so. I was going like Kansas, Duke, but I'm like, those are way too obvious. It's always sometimes the obvious ones.
Gonzaga was a good guess though, because the 9 straight Sweet 16s.
Yeah, that helps. Although they haven't gotten to too many Final Fours though, so that should have been. Yep. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. Have a fantastic basketball, baseball watching week, and we will be back at her next Monday to talk Purdue, Illinois in the Final Four.
Oh boy.